What's good, everybody? Friday morning, NHL Fantasy on Ice. Pete Jensen, Rob Reese, Bobby Bender. What's up, guys? Been a couple of days here. Excited to catch up with you.
Couple of days, lots going on. Bobby, how you doing this morning?
What's up, fellas? A Friday special, a Friday fun day, the works potpourri. I'm going to lay out a little bit, let you guys go, because there's a lot of stuff that's happened from Monday to today, including a coaching change in Robbie's favorite place, Montreal. Robbie, what are your thoughts?
Well, let's say this much. If you're looking for people to hold accountable in the building and you're going to the coach's office, I think you're knocking on the wrong door. I'm going to say that about Montreal, and I'm going to say that about Calgary too, if they decide to make a coaching change this season.
Yeah, I mean, look at how long Bergevin has been there. He's made a couple of nice moves. He's made a couple of bad moves, especially we look back at that, like Sergachev for Drouin. Of course, we're talking about the coach here. The problem, right, was that Julien is like a defensive structure type coach. We saw it all through the years when he was the Bruins, and now he's with the Habs, or he was with the Habs. And like, that was their weakness this year, right? The penalty kill was bad. Carey Price was really bad. He had another bad outing last night in the first game under the new interim coach. And it's like, it just begs the question, like, you're spending that much money on Carey Price over the long haul. He has been a little underwhelming the past couple of regular seasons, and then it just hurts the whole direction of the team. So that speaks back to the, you know, the building blocks of the team and how the team was assembled. So that goes back to Bergevin, I think.
Well, let's talk about Carey Price too, because it goes hand in hand as to why the coach was relieved. Price, and Pete, you said it, he just hasn't been that player for a couple seasons now, right? He had that one where he was like looking like he was trending up again, but now we're back down to below anything we've seen from him before. So are we ready to say that Carey Price is no longer that elite goalie, Bob?
Look at the numbers. All you have to do is look at the numbers. He's certainly not elite. And again, I'll take something that Sean Rourke said on At the Rink, which I think is very true, and it applies to a number of teams, including the New York Rangers. They're a victim of their own expectations, and Bergevin going out and, you know, making some trades and bringing in Corey Perry and Josh Anderson and some pieces. They had a nice little series against Pittsburgh, so the expectations are high. They bring in Jake Allen. Carey Price has not been good. And the center depth, which, Robbie, you've been saying this for 3 years. I think I met you in 2018-19, and you were talking about the Montreal Canadiens center depth, and here we are. It's talking about the same thing.
And in the offseason, they brought in four right wings, including drafting Cole Caulfield a season ago. I mean, you have to look at on paper here and say, what are we doing? What, as a franchise, which direction are we heading? You know that Carey Price is getting older. You know that position in the NHL is not what it used to be. You have to have your guy, and you can't go off previous pedigree like you have with Price. Jake Allen, I thought that was a pretty smart signing, but he's had some good outings and he's had a mixed bag as well a little bit more recently. So Pete, I don't know what you do here from a fantasy lens, because if you held guys like Toffoli, if you held guys like Suzuki, who are both pretty cold now, I mean, I think all you can do is just hold on and hope that the Habs rebound, because let's face it, Calgary's weak. Vancouver is completely shot. They should be picking first overall as far as I'm concerned, them and the Senators. So, you know, we have to look here in fantasy. Is there hope here if you're holding on to those guys?
And last night's loss against Winnipeg, up 3-1, that is not a good start. You're thinking you're going to get maybe a coaching bump. You go out, you take a 3-1 lead, and then it evaporates. The Jets win. I don't know what the final score was. What was it? 6-2, 6-3, 5-2?
I
don't
know.
Come on.
Yeah, that's rough. I mean, again, you have a aging Shea Weber on defense. Petrie, that's the thing about Montreal. Like, Petrie got off to an amazing start. Tyler Toffoli, which was actually a really good move, a discount signing based on what we thought he was going to make. I mean, they got Toffoli on a good deal in free agency. That was a good move by Bergevin, and he's been up to the task so far. But it's just, again, yeah, that center depth is a problem. Even when Suzuki's rolling, he's got no help on the other lines. I mean, Philip Deneau is, I guess, a good player behind the scenes, but he's not like an elite center. He's not even a marginal center compared to some of those other teams in the North Division, like Toronto, and even Vancouver. Even a bad team like Vancouver has a world's better center depth than them. And you mentioned Ottawa. Like, I don't know. They're winning games left and right here, and they won again. They trampled the Flames. I mean, they're only like, what are they, like 7 points out of the fourth spot? That's how bad it's gotten for that fourth spot between those couple of teams, Montreal, Calgary, and Vancouver. Nobody's taking the spot, so who's going to win it, Robbie?
Well, let's talk about Calgary here, because I will say that Montreal has a better future outlook regarding whoever the coach is than Calgary does. The reason why I'm saying this is because Montreal has decent depth players. Calgary does not. If you're looking in fantasy right now and you're looking at a guy like Matthew Tkachuk, who would have thought, Pete, that his younger brother Brady is already a more valuable asset in fantasy with the Ottawa Senators? Not many people would have predicted that this soon into their careers. So when you look at the Flames, you have to look at guys like Mangiapane. If they look at guys like Dylan Dubé, Josh Levo, Sam Bennett. I mean, these are guys that have been given decent roles this season, and they are nowhere near up to the caliber of player that you need on a first and second line. Like, that's the problem with the Flames. Same thing on defense. They're relying on guys like Valimaki. They're relying on guys like Rasmus Anderson, who has been great, but still Chris Tanev, Oliver Shillington. Like, these guys are not that good, and I think their talent evaluation way two steps ahead of where they should have been. Way too reliant on that. And Jacob Markstrom, now he's on the sidelines watching six goals, right? So, Petey, I mean, you can't go into a season like this when you bring in a guy like Jacob Markstrom and say, hey, we need everybody to play 110%. It doesn't happen. It's not going to happen in a shortened season. You have to have talent there.
Yeah, and you see, even before Markstrom exited the lineup, he had a couple of bad showings. I mean, maybe the load was getting too heavy on him, right? Maybe he was dealing with an injury and his performance dipped a little bit. I think Calgary, the one thing that's weird, we haven't seen from them, the line combinations that got them into the playoffs last year after the coaching change, and then the line combinations that got them, you know, maybe to two playoff series wins, very close to it with how competitive they were against the Dallas Stars. Those lines, you know, should maybe be set in stone, right? Gaudreau, Monahan, Lindholm on the right side. They've played Lindholm at center, and then Mangiapane, Matthew Tkachuk, and Backlund. I mean, we haven't seen those lines much at all this season. I think we got to see them soon. It might be their only hope just to go back to what worked last year, right?
Well, I think it's a bigger problem than just that, because even if they do go that and they maximize their talent and their output and those guys are playing 20 minutes a game together, I love that, Pete, for the short term, but I think this is a longer term problem for both the Habs and the Flames, where let's just start to address the fact that neither of these teams are good enough to win a Stanley Cup. If that's the mark you're shooting for, which you should be shooting for in the National Hockey League, neither of these teams are going to sniff that in the next 3 years as far as I'm concerned. So that would be my code red alert to either of those teams. Now, from a fantasy lens this season, Pete, we need to see Gaudreau, Monahan, those guys get together again and start cashing in, because otherwise, from a value standpoint, you're just not getting it.
Yeah, no doubt. And while all this mess is going on near the middle and the bottom of the North Division, the Edmonton Oilers, right, Robbie, they're rising higher and higher by the day. And Mike Smith has been a big part of that, I think. That's one guy that we could all look back at, and whether or not he keeps it up from here, we were a little bit wrong about Mike Smith at this stage of his career. We all knew about that Tippett connection. Last year was so up and down for the player and the team, but the team is, you know, definitely something's lit a fire under this team. They're playing well defensively somehow, even though Klefbom hasn't played a game, and Mike Smith is 6-0-0. Can you believe it?
I'm going to take a few seconds here. I'm going to get on my knees. I'm going to beg for forgiveness to Mike Smith, to all the listeners who listen to me and take my word as gospel. I apologize. I'm sorry. I made a big mistake. Mike Smith, 6-0. I can't believe it. I was sending him out to pasture. So I made a mistake, mea culpa. He's been good. And if you think about it, since he's come back, took the load off Koskinen, they've been better. I mean, he's not going to go win the Vezina Award. I'm not telling you to go run out and take a future on Mike Smith to win the Vezina. But this is just an acknowledgement that, yes, sometimes I am wrong. Most times I'm wrong, and I'll acknowledge it. So, Robbie, I mean, Mike Smith, 6-0. I mean, he hasn't lost. I mean, come on. It's crazy.
Oh, he's on fire. You should absolutely pick him up in fantasy. The guys I would consider dropping for Smith at that point, I'd be a little careful. I'm not dropping a Shesterkin, even though Shesterkin is on a worse team than the Oilers right now. I wouldn't go that far, Petey, but I'd look at the end of our top 25 goalie rankings as kind of your benchmark of who to keep. Mike Smith is certainly a hot name, but let me just, you know, tell you the truth here about Edmonton. This is expected. They are going to be up and they are going to be down. Same thing with Mike Smith. He is going to be up and he's going to be down. The good news with the Oilers and why I feel confident that they will get into the Stanley Cup playoffs this season is because they have pieces around Mike Smith. Their top four defense are very good. And that's considering that Klefbom is on the shelf the whole season. Their top three forward lines are also very good, and that gives Mike Smith or Koskinen stability to at least play decent. Mike Smith's numbers will come down. He will not win out the rest of the season, but you can be rest assured that that Oilers team will make the Stanley Cup playoffs.
For sure, and I didn't think they would, but they're putting together some nice pieces in their areas of weakness compared to what we saw derail them in the playoffs last year with that early exit. One guy that's been huge for the Oilers that I can't help but wonder, will he keep it up, is Darnell Nurse. And he's really risen among your defenseman rankings, right? What is he, in the top five now? I mean, can he keep this up? I don't think that you put him in there thinking that he wouldn't keep this up. So your thoughts on Darnell Nurse?
I think he'll keep it up, Pete, just because of his category coverage. Even if the points fall off a little bit, which would be my expectation, I think his category coverage is going to solidify him being a top 20 defenseman in Yahoo ranks the rest of the season. So you're going to get tremendous value based on ADP. In fact, that might be the most value this season based on ADP off the top of my head right now. I'm not sure if there's many other examples of someone that has consistently covered categories like Darnell Nurse. Now with Tyson Barrie there, you know, the point share is going to be a little bit diluted and stuff, right? So there is that storyline, but you have to look at their forward position too, Pete, and just know that guys like Kaylor Yamamoto, now that he's expected to be fully healthy here, guys like Puljujärvi, who's made a huge, huge jump from where he was early in his career. Like, that's what solidifies Darnell Nurse's staying power to me, is their forward depth.
Yeah, for sure. And one guy we were even talking about the past couple of days after his two-goal game the other day, Dominic Cahoon, has really been, his ice time is low. We should note that, but he's been a fixture with Draisaitl for large portions of the season, for better or worse. But that's a player, like, if he ever takes on a bigger role other than 5-on-5, he could really do some damage based on his per 60 metrics. So, and Cahoon's out there in so many leagues, like even Puljujärvi's only what, like 25-30% rostered, and Cahoon is way lower than that. So you can still tap into Edmonton, who looks like, you know, the second or third best team in the North. Of course, top is Toronto, and then either them or Winnipeg. Winnipeg's also playing very, very well right now. And I know we talked about Dubois and moving to wing. It seems like he's going to stick on the wing, which is a little surprising to hear, but he scored another goal last night. So if it's working, why not try it? They have the center depth to toy around with things like that.
Hottest team in the NHL right now, or one of the hottest, is the Los Angeles Kings. Their forwards are hot. Defensemen are playing really well. Goalies are out of this roof, skyrocketing in value, Pete. If you're on the waiver wire this morning and you're looking like at a team like LA, who has a huge matchup tonight against Minnesota, that's going to be a must-watch game on a Friday, fellas. Where are you going waiver wires for this Kings team, Pete?
Well, earlier in the week, we even picked up Jeff Carter because he's tri-eligible in Yahoo leagues. You might say, hey, Jeff Carter's over the hill, but not really. I mean, he's producing this year. He just had a nice little point streak come to an end the other day, but he's covering some categories. He always gets you shots on goal. Dustin Brown is one of the biggest risers in our overall rankings this week. You should check him out, NHL.com/fantasy top 200 rankings. Dustin Brown is up like 60 spots, which is an enormous jump. And then the goalie tandem, very quietly, top 10 in team save percentage. Cal Peterson is out there in many leagues. And Jonathan Quick is a popular player that has higher roster percentage, but also might be out there in shallow leagues. If you can secure that tandem, that might have that might be a really sneaky tandem for the rest of the season, because the Kings are in the thick of the playoff race in the West.
We're seeing a changing of the guard. Cal Peterson, slowly, he's been great. Changing of the guard in LA. I mean, what? How old is Quick? 35?
Yeah, I mean, and even Quick, though, he's gotten a couple of shutouts.
No, he's been
lately,
good. So he's been good. Yeah, it's the tandem.
Good for them.
You're right, but you're seeing a slow. Listen, what the Kings have done, I know they've won six straight, but they're not beating up on the lesser teams in the West. They're playing, you know, some solid opponents, and they're winning games. I mean, the Blues, I know they're depleted injury-wise, but they're putting together wins against decent teams. I love what the Kings are doing. I love the rebuild that's happened in front of our eyes. I'm rooting for the Kings. Robbie picked them to make the playoffs, And Cal Peterson has been good, and they work. They work really, really hard, and they got some veterans. I just wonder, do they have the score, the game breaker, you know, outside of Kopitar, who's going to score those goals when you need those goals? But I love what they're doing across the board, and I'm rooting very hard for the Kings. And the West is crazy. Look at the West standings. They're Avalanche aren't in the mix right now. I mean, I know it's early still, but and the Kings and Minnesota and Arizona, that fourth spot is going to be a lot of fun also.
Well, keep an eye on Gabe Vilardi. He's playing on the second line for the Kings. He's that guy that could rise up to be that scorer. He's got 8 points this year in 18 games. Not going to blow you away in fantasy, but look at his ice time. It's slowly inching up. Look at his shot volume. It's slowly inching up. And this is a player, 11th overall in 2017. The sky is the limit for him. And think about the futures of the Los Angeles Kings. Not only are they a good team this year that you probably don't want to face in the playoffs just because of the pedigree of their first line and their first defense pairing and their net minding, right, in their history in the postseason. But look at Gabe Vilardi's future here. Think about Quinton Byfield, too. He's got 4 points in 8 games in the AHL on a horrible, horrible AHL team this year. So think about this. You've got Kopitar as your future center, your number one center for a few more years. You got Byfield pushing for the second line center. You got Vilardi pushing for the second line center. I mean, that is a great problem to have. There you have three stars down the middle. That's exactly what you want in the NHL. And that's how you win a Stanley Cup, is to have three strong centers.
Yeah, we've even seen some touches from Anderson Dolan and the defenseman Mikey Anderson. Like they have some really nice pieces. We haven't even seen Byfield yet. So that's just another layer that they could incorporate either later in the season or sometime in the future after that. But yeah, the Kings have done the right thing. There are a couple of teams out there that did the right thing. Minnesota did the right thing on the fly. The Rangers did the right thing. The Chicago Blackhawks did the right thing. What's the trend here, right? Like you should tear it down if it's not working, and you'll probably be better in a season and a half, maybe 2 seasons. It's working out exceptionally well for all those teams that I just mentioned in terms of overcoming low expectations and producing and being more exciting teams sooner than later, even though you go the full-fledged rebuild route. So that's the trend in the NHL. And like we've mentioned on previous shows, maybe it's something that Nashville and San Jose should consider doing right now.
Now, how about Chicago keeping up the winning ways here, defying expectations? We haven't seen the drop-off just yet. Now, they beat Columbus 2-0. Are we having a fire sale in Columbus, Pete, or do we trust this team to rebound?
Yeah, we got to give them some time. I mean, that should be a playoff team. It really should be. They should be competitive with, you know, a team like the Florida Panthers for the third or fourth spot and a team like the Dallas Stars. But it just seems like everything's going wrong. Like now it's like the Elvis injury and, you know, now they're changing up their lines, which is not a bad thing. But, you know, the Roslovic line A thing was working. Now it's Roslovic with Atkinson. And I guess Nick Foligno's up top with Bjorkstrand and Patrick Laine. So it's going to be that same old line tinkering story. You just hope that when Werenski comes back, maybe that team could finally pop off and reach the expectation that I think many of us had for them to be back in the playoffs, because they've been such a tough team to defeat come postseason time. It just would feel weird if they weren't there, especially with Tortorella's system and stuff like that. But over to Chicago, I mean, I can't help but think, like, we're down on Carey Price. Like, we're a little down on Yaroslav Halak after he gave up 7 goals to the Islanders last night. And, like, Kevin Lankinen is just keeping it up. He's keeping it up. So, like, he belongs in the top 100 overall. Maybe he's a better option for the rest of the season than Carey Price. What are your thoughts on that, Rob?
I agree with you, Pete, and I've been way more aggressive at the goalie position in fantasy this year than in seasons past. I would have given guys like Price more time. I would have given a guy like Carter Hart more time, right?
Yep.
Not this season. It's not the way you're going to win your week-to-week matchups this season. You have to be aggressive at that position. We see it with Lankinen. We see it with Cal Peterson. Those guys, to me, are more valuable when they're hot. Chris Driedger, another one, way more valuable when they're hot because they keep on winning. Kaapo Kähkönen joined the list on that one, right? So when you have a guy like Carter Hart that's been disappointing, when you have a guy like Jaro Halak, who's not even the 1A there, right? And now you have a guy like Carey Price, cut the cord, please, and pick up one of these streaming options, including Lankinen, even if it's on a team that you feel less secure about.
And guys, I'm just going to do a little pronunciation class here for everyone, because I think we've all been wrong, and we've had a few listeners call us out on Dreger. I thought it was Dreger, but it's apparently Dreger. That's that. And I listened to the game, and I trust this guy, Steve Goldstein. Dreger. It's a hard G. It's a hard job. Right. So just, yeah.
Well, no matter how you say it, I'm not blaming you. It's going to pay dividends in fantasy, but we're going to go Chris Dreger from now on.
Yeah. Just, listen, we're acknowledging the listeners, you know, help us out with the pronunciation. So there you have it. I can't believe that you just said, would you consider Lankinen over Carey Price?
Yes, I would.
And, you know, you have
no brainer.
Yeah, that's crazy though. I mean, can you believe it? It's 226-21, and we're talking about Lankinen, who wasn't even mentioned one time in all the offseason shows because no one knew about him. I'm not blaming you guys. No one knew about him, and now we're talking about him being a more valuable asset than Carey Price. Wow.
Yeah, he's more valuable in fantasy than one highly paid goalie in Florida, Bobrovsky, another one in Montreal. I mean, what is the money worth for some of these guys in the long-term contracts? Goaltending, you know, it's an important position. It's a vital position, but so many different times you can find these guys. I mean, like even Darcy Kemper, I mean, the way he starts for Arizona, they've been winning games. He has a high volume. Mackenzie Blackwood, I mean, these are guys that like you might consider picking up or trading for because they have the guaranteed start volume. They have some efficiency, a lot of efficiency so far this year and even dating back to previous seasons. So it's like, but the name value. Yeah. Like Robbie, you mentioned Carter Hart, like he might be the biggest disappointment in all of fantasy based on where he was being drafted. I mean, we took Shesterkin high, but at least he's had a good save percentage with everything going wrong around him. I mean, the Flyers are not a bad team. Why is Carter Hart this bad? I can't believe it.
Well, I think he'll pick it up. I think he'll have a nice finish of the season. I do, Pete. But again, you can't, in fantasy, at least right now, you can't wait around for that to happen. You know, it's going to benefit maybe somebody else later in the season, but you need to be solidified in your playoff spot, in your league, to even get to that point where you're considering things, right? So for Carter Hart, though, Pete, I think it's just the Philadelphia Flyers style. They wanted to play this year with high danger chances. Well, they're not even shooting the puck. I mean, they're getting like 17 shots a game sometimes, and you're watching the team, and you're like, you can't rely on these guys like Kevin Hayes scoring on 2-on-1 rushes every game. Like that's not a way to win consistently. You have to keep up the pressure. You have to be physical. You have to have good special teams. And I think this is the kind of symbolization of the Flyers is Claude Giroux, right? This is not 2010 anymore. This is just not when he was a 100-point player. There's some changing of the guard going on there too. And I think they're just lagging a little bit until the next guys take that permanent step up. We're waiting for it. It will happen. Their future looks bright. I'm not down on the Flyers' future, but I think right now we're just kind of seeing that awkward changing of the guard phase for the Flyers.
Yeah, it was good to see Giroux come back from the protocol list and have 3 assists the other day. But, you know, Voracek just came off there. Konechny's still on there. You're talking about 3 of their better players. So I just wonder about the Flyers. Yeah, with some of those metrics that are not on their side, what happens when Farabee cools off? What happens when JVR disappears? Because he has been so boom or bust over the years that he'll be hot like this. He'll be among the league leaders in goals and power play points and stuff like that. And then he'll just disappear for a couple of weeks and then he'll be droppable in fantasy. So when that happens, if the goaltending doesn't improve, you're going to have a big problem for the Philadelphia Flyers. So hopefully the return of some of these players in the coming games offsets that a little bit. And the Flyers can start putting more pucks on net and kind of like shifting the scale a little bit in terms of their metrics.
Well, they're 6-2-2 in their last 10, you know, so it could be a lot worse for them. But I think it's a legitimate problem now in the East in that division, Pete, because you have teams like the Islanders that I don't know if you agree with this, but I just feel more safe about the Islanders, even though they're not the most exciting team. I do like that they have Wahlstrom up and he's playing okay and stuff like that. I like those trends, but that team is so safe. The Philadelphia Flyers have done this for the past 3 or 4 years where they get hot. They light it up. Everyone's like, wow, this team's great. No, they're not great. And I disagree with any critic. You can have them on the show, Bob, invite them on and we can go head to head here. I will vehemently disagree with you that the Flyers are a contender. They're a good playoff team, but they are not hoisting a Stanley Cup trophy.
It'd be very helpful to them if Carter Hart played a little bit better in net. But yeah, I hear what you're saying. They're not, you know, they're not upper echelon Vegas, Boston. I still think the Avalanche are going to come around and be an upper echelon team. Toronto, I think, is an upper echelon team. Are we going to look at the board for a Friday, or is there a few more storylines you want to get to, Robbie?
One more thing that I want to just throw out there is, what would Chicago be this year if guys like Kirby Dach were in the lineup, if guys like Jonathan Toews were in the lineup? And I'll circle this back to the Flyers, because I think the Blackhawks are in a little bit more of an appealing long-term situation now. And same thing with the Minnesota Wild, Bob. It's another team that is kind of rebuilt on the fly, where they had to strip it down, get the high draft pick one season. Billy. But now you're starting to see these new guys actually take hold in their lineup and pay dividends. We're not really seeing that with Philadelphia. We're seeing too much inconsistency. So I would just like to throw that out there, that I really respect what Minnesota and Chicago have been able to do. It's quite impressive.
Billy, you just got to say Billy G and tip your cap. And I was right about Billy G. The guy's a genius. The guy's putting together a franchise champion soon. Let's go, Billy G.
Yeah, how about Zuccarello, Zook? We're excited to see him producing again at the level he was at the height of his career, when he was like a 60-point guy. And, you know, you remember, Robbie, I was amped up when he went to Dallas and he was performing really well. He was like, looked like a great playmaker that year. He was an all-star with the Rangers that year. But then last year he was buried in the bottom six. So, like, what did you make of that? And then now he comes back from injury. He's got 9 points in his first five games, and he's playing with Kaprizov. He's playing with Victor Rask, who looks like maybe a hidden gem in fantasy to throw onto your watch list. But Zuccarello, I mean, if he keeps this up, he's going to be a big riser come next week. He's already, you know, taking a big jump in our top 200.
And that's the other thing that you need in this league is star power. Kirill Kaprizov is a star. I've seen enough. He's a star. Kirby Dach is a star. I've seen that flash. That's another problem with the Flyers. They don't have a star anymore. They need that. Same thing with Montreal. Carey Price was their star. Again, it's 2021 now. It's not the same era, right? So you need those guys. And hey, Brady Tkachuk, the last time I'm going to mention this, you should not have taken Kokkaniemi over Brady Tkachuk. Brady Tkachuk is a star.
Yeah, no, it's not going to be the last time you mention it. And you can mention it over and over and over again. If you're a Canadiens fan, you're scratching your head. And Kokkaniemi was in the minor leagues before the playoffs last year. He was in the AHL, right? And now you're counting on this guy playing big minutes in the top six for the Canadiens. And go look at Brady Tkachuk. He is a star. Kaprizov, to me, I don't know. I'm looking at the landscape. He's the Calder Trophy winner. No, I mean, where are you going with that one? To me, he's right now, if the season ended right now, he's the Calder Trophy winner.
He is. I mean, the only two names that I would throw out as competition right now are two goalies, Lankinen, who's technically a rookie. I think he's 25, and then Kokkonen, his teammate. So that would go hand in hand. That would be a great trend if two Wild guys were in the top three for the Calder. And I could see that happening. I mean, even if it's at the expense of the Blues, if the Kings and Wild keep this going to any extent, they could both make the playoffs, and then the Blues maybe could miss. I mean, hopefully the Blues get Tarasenko back in the near future. But if they're relying on that, they're relying on him to come back into elite goal scoring form after two shoulder surgeries or two or three shoulder surgeries in the past 3 years. I mean, that's tough. That's heavy expectations.
Okay, you ready for the Friday board here? We got a three-game.
Last thing fantasy-wise season-long that we need to just reference quickly is the Jack Eichel situation in Buffalo. It was a story yesterday that he actually suffered an injury prior to training camp this season and has been nursing something all season long. So definitely there is an excuse labeled on Buffalo this year. Otherwise, it's a pretty inexcusable situation. But for fantasy owners, Jack Eichel missed the game against New Jersey on Thursday night. There's clearly something that is either lingering, and potentially it might look like it's getting worse if he's going to be missing some time now. So just one thing fantasy owner wise to keep an eye on.
Yeah, I mean, and maybe it's an excuse, but I don't think there's any excuse for benching and healthy scratching Jeff Skinner. I mean, give the guy a chance to bounce back. I mean, he's a player with some pedigree, some 30 to 40 goal pedigree, even with what he did with Eichel. Olofsson has been a constant through this whole thing. He's like the only guy. We put him ahead of Taylor Hall now in our rankings, shockingly enough. But yeah, Eichel's been a big disappointment, and you can understand why, but Now Ullmark got banged up. It's just it's the same old story. Yeah. It's kind of sad, honestly, because now we're pushing a decade that the Sabres haven't been to the playoffs.
And you start looking at teams like we just talked about, Minnesota, the Kings, who kind of they've gone through the cycle here of a bit of a rebuild and are now competing and competitive and in the mix. And the Sabres, it feels like since 1985, are trying to put together a winning formula. And they've tried everything. They've tried new coaches. They've tried players. They drafted high. They can't get the goalie. It's a total mess up in Buffalo. Listen, the Bills went through it for a long, 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 long time, and it looks like they finally turned a corner, still waiting for the Sabres. So we got a 3-game slate on a Friday. So it was supposed to be a 5-game slate. 2 games are off the board, Vegas, Anaheim, St. Louis, San Jose. So they're all 3 big favorites. Minnesota, big favorite against LA, which is a bit of a head scratcher. They're minus 177. Boston, I think, should be a bigger favorite against the Rangers at minus 172. I don't see how the Rangers win this game, but maybe. I don't know. I didn't like what I saw out of the Bruins late yesterday against the Islanders. And then Colorado, big favorites against Arizona. I think it's a must win for Colorado at this point. They got to get some wins. So where are we going today?
I'm keeping the sledge on the shelf today. I'm not bringing that out.
Yeah, no sledge.
But I do like the appeal in Colorado and Boston to bounce back. These are both very good teams, you know, and I think it goes to show
parlay?
Over a full – well, if you're feeling frisky on a Friday, maybe.
Okay.
But it just goes to show that teams that start off hot, again, like Montreal, you don't want to be in that position where if you're a little bit up and down but you have a solid club like Boston, like Colorado, I think you're going to have some good matchups here to bounce back. I think one of those is against Arizona tonight. But, hey, I would have a hard time betting against that Arizona team, Pete. We've seen them consistently step up. In fantasy, you could look at 6 or 7 names on the waiver wire, all of which are good pickups for me.
Yeah, I mean, Christian Dvorak has been excellent this season. He's among their leaders in goals and points and power play points, the whole bit. Jacob Chychrun, same deal, among the defensemen leaders in multiple categories. So definitely some sneaky appeal. I do expect, I mean, if the Avalanche continue to lose some of these games and have low goal scoring outputs against some of these weaker teams in the West, it would be a big concern. So I'm big on the Avalanche bounce back tonight. I would approach sledgehammer territory on the Avalanche tonight. That's just my hunch.
Whoa.
Kings Wild. I mean, what a collision this is going to be. The Kings have won 6 in a row. The Wild, Kokkonen has won 4 in a row. So you expect him to get the start. I think there's great value on the Kings. Yeah. I don't know why they're plus 140 against Minnesota where it's a coin flip game. So even though I was leaning coming into the show before I saw that the Wild might win this game, it's such a toss-up that one of my best bets of the night would be the LA Kings to keep it going, regardless of which goalie starts, just because it's amazing value for a team that's like been out of this world lately.
Well, one thing I want to say about Colorado, and I'm not concerned about this team and making the playoffs. They will make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. But one interesting thing I've noticed is that they don't seem to play well unless that top line, Landeskog, MacKinnon, and Rantanen are together, Pete. I mean, they've tried. Sure. And credit to Jared Benner for trying. He put Brandon Saad there. Burakovsky was up there, right, when there's a little bit of banged up with Landeskog and everything. But they keep coming back to that one line, and I just worry that could be their downfall, is that they can't get enough from the second and third group. Again, that would be more of a postseason concern, nothing that's going to really bother you in fantasy, but just something to keep an eye on. Again, they have the depth on the back end to overcome any of those droughts, but now Burakovsky's on the third line, and that's one of the cuts on the waiver wire this morning.
Yeah, so Burakovsky, I feel like, is a good buy low candidate, but he's not providing the category coverage. So it might be, it's like not when you're trying to maybe cut the cord on like a Price or a Hart or, someone else who you drafted very high in your draft. Like Burakovsky was drafted very low. We were high on him, but, you know, at what point do you just cut the cord on him? Are you sticking with Burakovsky? I know I am in one of my leagues just because I do think. Even that second line, Burakovsky, Saad, or Donskoy with Nazem Kadri, I still have some good faith in that line. So that's why I'm hanging on to Berkey. But are you approaching drop territory for Berkey right now?
Yeah, I dropped him on Monday just to get Dubois back in my lineup, Pete. But
okay,
if a guy like Christian Dvorak was out there, I'd probably drop Berkey for him. Other guys, you know, on decent teams that are kind of trending up or at least are hot right now. I would say yes, only because what you mentioned, the category coverage, you need everything this year. You know, you need the ice time, you need the shots, you need the hits. So I would just say for that reason alone, yes, I would cut the cord.
Just a quick sledgehammer update. Robbie moves to 1-0 with the Tampa pick on Monday. He's 1-0 with sledgehammers. James Harding, I had to call him out on Twitter because he had the caveat there that Cal Peterson needed to be in net for the Kings on Monday. Unfortunately, Quick is in net. Kings win. He does not get credit for the sledgehammer. He does not get credit for the sledgehammer. I am 2-0, but I don't have anything tonight. Pete's 1-0. If I'm itching to get out there tonight, okay, I'm going to take a look at the parlay that we talked about, Boston, Colorado, and I think you got to go with the Kings value-wise and just say, hey, they're streaking right now. The number's too high. Vegas clearly thinks that the Kings streak is going to end. I would play that plus number and put my head on the pillow and just say, keep the streak rolling, Kings. You know, it's not like Minnesota is this wild juggernaut. I mean, minus 177, that's a little high for me. So, but there's nothing really amazing on the board tonight. So, you know, be smart. Don't lay all this money with all these high prices. You know, do a little parlay, take an underdog, put your head on the pillow and get ready for a Saturday with the college hoops and the NHL and everything else you got. So that would be my strategy on this Friday.
Bobby, are you going to the Ranger game tonight?
Oh, yeah, I think I'm going to be in the building. I think I'm going to be in the building. I got some testing I got to do in New York City, COVID testing, and I'll send some pictures if I get in the building. If I don't get in the building, you'll see me nursing a beer in a relatively empty sort of establishment in New York City. My buddy, he got tested. He's clear. He's going to be in. So there's pressure on me to test negative, get myself in the building tonight for the Rangers-Bruins game.
Well, the Rangers are starting Gorgiev tonight. So that's an interesting one there from Coach Quinn after Shesterkin, who's just, I mean, he played amazing against the Caps. He played amazing against the Bruins earlier this month. I mean, he's been standing on his head. I think just not to be too critical here today on a Friday, but you got to go to your number one here. I'm upset.
Yeah. I want to see Igor in net, especially with the way he played the other game. I mean, I don't understand the kid's what? How old is he? 21? Put him in net. What do you have to lose? And this team without Panarin is a tough, tough, tough watch. And Zibanejad, please, can this guy figure it out?
He looked good. He looked good on Wednesday. I'll say this about
he's got to put
him
in the
Malkin. I'm going to say this though, Petey. I will say I've been watching a few of both their games lately. Like Malkin's starting to look like Malkin again, and Zibanejad, he's getting in the action a little bit. Something has to give. I mean, something has to give, right?
I think he had a shorthanded opportunity. He had a breakaway, and he shoved it right into the blocker, the goalie there. He could have tied. I mean, but if that was last year, it's a goal. So
yeah, but two assists on the Kreider Hattie. I mean, a couple shots. You know, I'll take that from what we've seen so far, right?
For sure. And it's a long road back for some of these guys who, you know, dealt with, COVID or whatever, like any situation like that. And I think we're seeing that too, Robbie. Like, right, one big talking point for the goalie landscape right now is what's going on with Ilya Samsonov, the starting goalie for the Capitals, or at least we thought. He's been on an AHL conditioning stint and has gotten lit up a couple of times, but he's another one of those guys that he was on the protocol list for a long time. He had some, some physical challenges through the process. He's back healthy now. It just takes a little while for these guys to get back to full strength. So it's tough. Like, do you hold Samsonov if you have him in fantasy, hoping that he'll lead the Caps to the playoffs and be maybe the goalie we thought he would be?
I'd be lying to you guys if I said I didn't have concerns at this point. I mean, they've put Vanecek out there, you know, poor guy. He's started basically every game this season. That's not a good situation. It's not one you want to be in. I do think this Caps team is so good they can get away with this. But Samsonov, you at least want to see a couple shutouts or something at the AHL level to get your confidence up. The COVID thing and coming back from that has affected players differently, right? We've seen with Ristolainen. Guys, I think Zibanejad probably even too, Pete, right? So I am a little bit concerned. I'd like to spend more time with James on Monday talking about what he would do in this event. And last thing I'm going to say here is I just realized Malkin is -5. In his past five games, or -6 in his past five games. That's not cutting it. So while he's looking better, you're getting nothing there in fantasy.
Do we know off the top of our head who's leading the Masters, who's atop the Masters leaderboard?
It's got to be someone on Detroit Senators? Or Ottawa, right?
Yeah, I would think.
Let me do a quick Masters leaderboard here.
Yeah, while you do the Masters leaderboard, I was
It's Darlene and Quinn Hughes. Oh, -15 and -14. Wow, they could shoot. -56? Can you imagine?
Quinn Hughes, the way this season is trending, Quinn Hughes could lead all defensemen in points and be like a -30 or something. You know, well, when it's all said and done.
Is Quinn leading a defenseman in points right now?
Yeah, and yeah, but he's -14, so you're getting nothing.
I don't have anything else to say. Put a bow on it.
Well, I got a couple of waiver wire pickups. I think it's
quick,
like it's
good. Quick, man.
We talk about the teams we like and everything like that, and we kind of dismiss some of the lower teams in the league. But a couple of guys like Max Comtois from the Ducks, we mentioned him on one of the other shows. He's got 8 goals. He covers shots. He covers hits. With the inclusion of Zegras into the lineup, you think it will eventually improve that forward depth. But Comtois has been worth owning in fantasy through all this mess in Anaheim and all the downward offensive performance this year. So I wanted to mention him. And then a couple of guys for Ottawa, right, Robbie? Like Drake Batherson, another guy that covers hits. He's been scoring. Brännström had that goal from no man's land, right? From the neutral zone yesterday. You said you have him in one league. That's a keeper or dynasty. So, you know, don't shy away from these guys if they're producing and they're emerging as some of the leading scorers on their teams at their positions. And, you know, just wanted to give those couple guys a little shout out.
And yeah, I agree with you, Pete. I like what I saw, the little boost from Anaheim with Zegras. You could just tell, you know, that they've got a little bit more flair now, but we'll be back with everybody Monday with Waiver Wire James, big episode then. So send us your questions over the weekend. Last thing to keep an eye on here, McDavid, could he hit 100 points in a 56 game season? He's got 40 points in 22 games. Wow. That might be one of the best stat lines ever in NHL history if that happens.
Yeah, and I guess Matthews has been a little banged up too, but he's on pace for like 50 goals in 50 games. So that would be another certainly a historic accolade if he could do that. That'll be two great storylines with McDavid and Matthews that we'll be following along in their head-to-head matchups and for the rest of the season for sure. But great to be back with you guys. For Bender and Reese, follow us on Twitter at AirCheck for Bobby, at NHL Reese for Robbie, at NHL Jensen for myself. Hit us up on Instagram at NHL Fantasy. Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. We'll be back for 3 episodes next week. No, you missed us this week with only 2, but we'll be back full force next week. So thanks again for listening. NHL Fantasy on iTunes.